It's the Steve Cochran Show, Radio 720, WGN. Matt Bubal in for Steve today and tomorrow. Dave Plyer in Thursday and Friday. Steve, of course, is getting ready for his big New Year's Eve show out at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. And Kevin Powell, Steve's regular producer, I think every morning, isn't there food here and wine and drink and like weird food, craziness going on? Mm-hmm. And Jasmine and Sean said, well, we're not going to be outdone. So somebody literally just pulled up with a truckload of champagne. Literally, there are 15 bottles of champagne and wines here in the studio right now. And Peter Schwarzbach from Vin Chicago is sitting right here. How are you today, Peter?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
You've got to get really close to that mic, buddy, so everybody can hear you.
How's
so
that?
That's great. What all have you brought here today? This is crazy. So we're going to talk about what to pick basically for that New Year's Eve celebration, right?
Correct.
And are we going to try all of these?
Absolutely.
Because we still have 2.5 hours of the show.
Oh, it'll make it great.
And we haven't eaten.
Something better make it great. I don't know. Wow, there's a lot to choose from here. So now some of these look like champagne. Some of these look like bottles of wine. Give me a hint of what all we brought in here today.
Okay, we've got a really wide range. Starting out with sparkling wine. We have champagne,
That's delicious.
Cava, we have Prosecco. You're tasting right now the Etienne Du, really small batch, grower-produced champagne.
Grower-produced champagne. So if it's champagne, it has to be from the Champagne region of France, right?
Correct.
Excellent. So none of these champagnes are from California, but we have other than what, sparkling wines that are from California? Is that what we have to call anything that's not from champagne?
Correct. So we have here, sparkling wine is the whole category.
Okay.
So champagne is a subset of sparkling wine.
Okay.
You've also probably heard of cava.
Okay.
You've heard of Prosecco. So cava is from Spain.
Okay.
Made using the same techniques as champagne uses.
Okay.
And Prosecco is from Italy, using a slightly different technique, a little bit sweeter usually.
So is everybody coming up with different names so it's not just sparkling wines? If champagne's going to be champagne, then we're going to come up with Prosecco and we're going to come up with other names to try to sort of make a name for ourselves with our type of sparkling wine?
Absolutely.
And what does California have? Still just sparkling wine? Are they still looking for the catchy title for something?
They haven't found it. California is just sparkling wine. But a lot of great sparklers out of California nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not champagne, it can still be great, right? It doesn't have to be champagne.
Absolutely.
Okay, and what's the... Prosecco is a name I've heard recently. Is that a hot trending thing right now, Prosecco?
Prosecco's been really hot lately.
Okay.
It's very friendly, very accessible. You know, you're talking $10 to $15 a bottle, and you get something really tasty. Usually has a little more sweetness, so you can... really serve it to anyone. Serve it to anyone, anytime.
I think of champagne as weddings and New Year's Eve. I don't think of it as a drink throughout the night. So when you're serving champagne on New Year's Eve, do you think of it as just as here's your bottle for midnight, we'll serve wine the rest of the night, or are people more and more drinking sparkling wine, champagnes, Proseccos throughout an evening?
Champagne is one of the most food-friendly wines there is.
Okay.
So for me, I'll start any night, even New Year's Eve, when my guests come, going to have a bottle of something sparkling. Could be a cava, could be a champagne, but we're going to start with something bubbly. I may switch to a red wine or a white wine during the night, and then, of course, New Year's, you know, boom.
You have to have something sparkling, right?
Absolutely.
And some of these have screw tops, some of them have corks, and some of them are general, what we think of as a, you know, big... Yeah, as you're about to do, but you did it quietly because you're a professional. Cork top open. So is there a difference in how these wines are presented like that? Or how these champagnes and sparkling wines, Proseccos, are presented, whether they're shooting a top off or just a screw top?
Sure. Now, all of the champagnes, cavas, and Proseccos we have the traditional champagne stopper with the cage on top. You have to unwind it and then really carefully
open it up
so it doesn't hit the ceiling and bounce off the wall. The one exception we have here, and it's not a champagne... But for those who like something a little bit sweeter, we have a Moscato d'Asti.
Okay.
So it's an Italian wine. The grape is Moscato. It's from the Asti region. It has a screw cap.
Okay.
So you can just...
untie it just like normal.
Twist it off. And it has just a little bit of bubble, a little sweeter style, and a little less bubbles. We'll get some glasses here for you guys.
Now, I know that wines, there's been a bit of a switch that some are going to the screw top. And while here in the States we have this perception about it's a screw top, it's $2 chuck, that's actually, I've read sometimes, better for the wine than having the cork top. What's your take on that?
Screw caps are great. A few reasons. One, they're easy to open.
You just had your 10-year-old daughter hand me, I'm sure she's like 12 or 13, but that's weird that we've got your daughter handing out glasses of wine at 7:42 in the morning.
Not my daughter, just the wine assistant this morning.
She's just a wine assistant, yes. So you're just child labor off the streets coming in to hand out wine at 720 WGN. There's going to be a department of somebody in here soon, I'm sure. Okay, what did she just hand me?
So you have the Sirocco Moscato.
Sirocco Moscato.
So give it a try there.
That's very sweet,
yep.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, though.
So this is wine you can serve to anyone. If your friends say, oh, I'm not a wine drinker, your
right.
mother-in-law, your cousin.
Because I'm not a wine drinker.
Okay.
I generally don't. I'll have a cheap beer, and I'll drink a little bit of champagne. I've developed a little bit of a taste for that over the years, or sparkling wines.
We can work on that. By the end of the day, we'll have you.
But this is a nice, like, I could drink this. This isn't like, oh, that's too... It doesn't grab you like if you're. I feel like some wines, sparkling wines, everything you need to develop a taste for, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is very, very simple and easy to drink.
And it's also a little bit lower alcohol. You're talking about 6 or 7% alcohol for this wine versus maybe 12 or 13 for a typical sparkling wine.
Interesting. So there is a big difference in the sparkling wines versus the regular wines. So this, is this what you just handed me, is considered a sparkling?
Semi-sparkling.
Semi-sparkling.
Yep.
Now we have subcategories.
We have always subcategories. Wine is always about stories.
We're speaking with Peter Schwarzbach from Vin Chicago. Wines, champagnes, everything. You have 4 locations here in Chicago. What can we find at Vin?
Sure. Wine from anywhere in the world. So we have the stores in Chicago, Barrington, Highland Park, and Naperville. And wines from France, California, Italy, Greece, you name it, all around the world. Diverse wines. You know, we have some of the name brands, but we try to focus like we did today.
Get something different.
On some of the obscure things. Some of the small producers, you can get some great values, some really interesting, intriguing wines. And some great values.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to sip some wines and champagnes here after the break, but you probably have questions. New Year's Eve is coming up in just a couple of nights. What do you need to know about what you're going to serve and what you want to buy? 312-981-7200. Peter Schwarzbach from Vin Chicago. VinChicago.com is their website. He's here in studio, and we'll take your calls next. Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran, Radio 720 WGN in studio with us. Peter Schwarzbach from Vin Chicago. Where are the 4 locations, Peter?
They're in Chicago, Highland Park, Naperville, and Barrington.
And Barrington. Excellent. So, Steve, you had an interesting question off the air.
Well, Peter, there are a lot of vineyards in southwest Michigan and other parts of the Midwest. Are any of these sparkling wines produced there?
None of the ones we have today, but there's one in particular we're very fond of. Gentleman James Mauby.
Mm-hmm.
Makes his Mauby wines up in the Leelanau Peninsula, makes in particular a rosé that is fantastic. It's about $15 a bottle.
Way up there?
All the way up there. It's actually on the same latitude as Champagne.
Huh.
So it gets similar temperature patterns.
How about that?
Interesting. A texter asks, are there any reputable non-alcoholic sparkling wines out there, or just the basics you can find at any local Walgreens?
I would have to stick with the local Walgreens on that. There is there's alcohol in everything that we work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So so if we're having a general get-together this week on New Year's Eve, and so a lot of times at these parties you have 8 or 10 or more people, you don't know them all intimately necessarily, so it's tough to decide what exactly is going to work well for everybody. So what do you recommend in a situation like that? Sticking with some very basic sparkling wines or getting a variety of things? How do you set up a party like that when it's people that, like me, don't exactly know what they're doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the key is you start with a range.
Mm-hmm.
Get a few bottles, maybe start with a Prosecco or a Cava, something you can pay $10-15 for, and still get a good quality wine,
mm-hmm.
and then keep a few nice bottles. You kind of figure out who are the real wine drinkers here, who's going to enjoy the $30 or the $50 bottle or the really interesting craft bottle of champagne.
Right.
And pop that out for them.
Generally at the end of the night, so, you know, your party starts, if it's a New Year's Eve party, 7 or 8 o'clock, you've got a number of hours until midnight. You want to crack open a nice sparkler at midnight. If people have been drinking since 7 or 8 o'clock, are we saving a really good one for midnight? Or are we thinking, well, it's midnight and they've already drank a little bit, let's do the good stuff early and go a little lighter later?
You know, you really have to know your friends on that one.
There's no general rule on that?
No,
you know, in
no
the Bible,
rule.
They serve the good stuff first, And then the cheap stuff came later, and they were very impressed when Jesus had such good wine later on.
You know, for me, I figure ringing in the new year, you know, special occasion, you're going to pop something good, but I'm in the business.
Yeah, so. You want people to buy the good stuff all the time, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so give us a couple other recommendations. You got like 30 bottles lined up here.
Sure. Well, a lot of people on New Year's like red wine.
Mm-hmm.
So you start out with maybe a bubbly when your friends come in, but you know, you're hanging out all night. You're having steak. You're having some big food. So we have a couple Cabernets here that are a lot of fun, and both have a Chicago connection to them.
Okay.
So we have the Farmageddon Cabernet, which is fun. It's a picture of a barn and a lightning storm on the front.
Yes.
You know, kind of a hokey label, but it's a great story behind it. A gentleman we work with, Steve Sullivan, he works exclusively with wines from the Central Coast of California, and he found a batch of a couple hundred gallons of really nice Cabernet he was able to pick up cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So he bottled it. He came up with his label. And we'll open this here for you guys as well if you want. It's about $15 a bottle, and it's just juicy, and it's just rich and sweet and fun. Really nice, fun bottle of Cabernet.
So that's interesting. So he goes to a winery, finds wine that they have, and then just buys it and then labels it himself. Do a lot of people do that type of thing?
A lot of people do that. Some do it very well. Some do it so-so. One of the things that we do at Vin Chicago is we taste a lot. So you see a lot of wines on the table. For us, this is a small day. You know, in a typical day, we'll taste 50 or 100, 150 wines.
In a typical day, you're tasting 150 wines?
Yep.
Seriously? Every day, Peter?
Well, about 3 days a week.
Wow.
So that brings a question. What's the proper way to taste wine? Do you spit it out after you taste it?
We do. It makes for a long day otherwise.
Or a really short day.
Or a really short day. If you're tasting more than 30 wines, you don't spit. You're not going.
Yeah.
You're not doing well.
And I imagine not only that, but you don't know what you're tasting by the 30th wine. I mean, you don't want to buzz at all if you're tasting wines, correct? Because doesn't that start impairing how you're tasting things and how you're judging them?
Absolutely. What we actually find is that the first 10 or 20 wines you taste, you're going to get every sensation. You're going to taste everything about them. Later in the day, you know, the mediocre wines are going to taste bad, but the great wines are still going to shine through.
630 texts, how do you know how much to buy? So if you have a party of eight, and, you know, like you said, well, you need to know your friends, but you don't necessarily know. You know, Joe's coming, he's bringing a date, I don't know her, and Janie's coming, and she's got two other friends that are tagging along with, and I don't know all these people. So what's the amount that you buy? I imagine it's always good to have more than run out. So mm-hmm. What's your rule of thumb?
So for a champagne toast, you figure about, you know, five or six people per bottle for the toast.
Okay.
For the evening, one of the rules of thumb is one glass per person per hour.
Okay.
So if you're hanging out 5 hours, you have 10 people, you know, 50 glasses. Another thing to try is buy some less expensive wine that you don't mind having left over. Because like you said, you really don't know. You may go with 10 people, you may go through 3 bottles. You may go through 10.
Yeah. Less expensive wine to have left over. I would think I would, if they're leaving it behind, I want the more expensive wine, don't I?
Oh, that's true.
Well, I'm just wondering, if I have leftovers, I don't want the stuff that I don't want to drink later. I want stuff that I want to drink later.
Well, if you're buying a few special bottles to serve your guests, buy some bottles that you're going to enjoy during the week.
In case we get a little too heavy into it, get something a little lighter going later on that you're not spending as much on. It's called Vin Chicago. You can visit vinchicago.com for locations in the Chicagoland area, and you can visit them online. Can you order online as well, or you probably need to be in a location, right?
No, you can order on our website.
You can.
We have about 1,200 wines on the website.
And you guys sell wines by the case and things like that, too? I know people like to buy larger quantities sometimes, or if they find a particular bottle they like. Can you do things like that? Or?
Yeah, we can sell any quantity people want. You can buy a bottle, buy a case.
Whatever you need. You're there for them.
Whatever you need.
Peter Schwarzbach with Vin Chicago, vinchicago.com. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. News is next on 720 WGN.